Praise the Lord. If you got a song sheet, let's go ahead and get it out. I got a couple announcements I want to do before we open it in song. Praise the Lord. Today in New Jersey, they're doing phase one. I guess we're already in phase one in New York. But starting phase two today or tomorrow. So this is from Solid Rock Baptist Church, Berlin, New Jersey. Safety precautions and guidelines I wanted to read through. Before I read through that, since the president said churches are essential, guess what that did to the churches in New Jersey? They have more protesters than worshipers. Anything that Trump is for, the people are hating and are fully against. And so they have police, they have TV2 news, they have their parking lot is filled with all kinds of a cop headquarters station to try and separate the protesters from the worshipers. And so anyway, the following is a list of our phase one church move-in guidelines. These guidelines are meant to help ensure that we present ourselves to the governor, law enforcement, general public, media, and a church family as having done more than what is required to ensure the safety of our church family during phase one. It is very important that our church family follows the phase one safety procedures and guidelines. Those who choose to attend must understand that their compliance with phase one guidelines is necessary for the safety of others and the testimony of Solid Rock Baptist Church. During phase one, our church will not have nursery, children's church, on-site Sunday school classes, choir, or orchestra. Number one, we will consult with and have building evaluated by a professional commercial cleaning company specializing in disinfecting and infection prevention and following all CDC guidelines to disinfect the facility. Number two, our church family will park vehicles according to social distancing guidelines. Number three, everyone will be required to wear masks. We will have an outside welcome center tent with masks available for those who need one. Number four, service leaders will wear masks when they are not on the platform. Number five, everyone will have their temperature taken by a touchless temperature scan. According to CDC guidelines, anyone 100.4 degrees or higher will not be able to attend. Number six, we will have limited entrance into the church. Everyone, please enter through the main lobby entrance. Number seven, we will have a touchless entrance. Entrance and exit doors will be propped open using door stops. Number eight, we will have hand sanitized stations throughout the building. Number nine, please reserve seats for you and your family at solidrockinfo.org before attending the services. Number 10, we will have limited reserved social distance seating. Each pew will have 6-foot social distancing spacers placed between the attendees. Number 11, we will have restrooms available for emergency situations only. One person slash family at a time will be permitted into the restrooms. The restroom will then be cleaned before the next person will be permitted to enter. Number 12, we will not pass offering plates. Offerings may be given in the offering plates located in the rear of the auditorium as guest exit or online giving. Number 13, words of the congregational songs will be projected on the screens. We will not use hymn books. Number 14, at the conclusion of the service, we will have an orderly dismissal. Ushers will dismiss by row, starting by the back and moving forward to eliminate situations where we would not be socially distanced. Number 15, we will not congregate in groups in the parking lot. Everyone will be asked to remain socially distanced while in the parking lot. We encourage our senior saints, those with compromised immune systems, and those with underlying health conditions to continue to enjoy our online services and not attend services on-site during Phase 1. Please pray for the good for God to bless our regathering and to give safety to our entire church family. Solid Rock Baptist Church has their opening service today. Praise the Lord. So pray for Solid Rock, pray for all the churches. Anyone see the preacher who ripped up the citation? He was on Fox News, actually. So it went viral online. He ripped up the citation that he got from the community. And they also, he was on in our prayer meeting this morning, they also have more protesters than worshipers at their church. Just people hating the fact that churches are opening, which makes me think that, man, we're in trouble in this country. Glory. So praise the Lord, we're here. Did you anyone notice again that the things that are out Midwest, they said, okay, churches, you can go ahead and gather under Phase 1 with no more than 10 people and no singing.
No singing.
Singing spreads diseases, so you're not allowed to sing in church. I'm telling you, this is diabolical. They hate what's going on in Baptist churches and are against it. You can go to mosque, they don't sing at all anyway. So there's some churches that keep singing. That's our real problem. Okay. So just because of that, I want us to sing extra loud here this morning. Bless your heart for being here. Only trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you. Come then and join the holy band, and unto glory go. In Christ's redemption take your stand, and all His goodness know. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, go ahead and stand. We'll sit for a while today. Let's stand and sing, No, Not One. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like Him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. A friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that He is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark that His love can't cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Let's do four. Did e'er a saint find his friend forsaken? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will He refuse us the bliss of heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide till the day. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Father, praise You and thank You that we could worship this day. Thank You for Your presence here. Thank You where two or three are gathered together. There You are in the midst. Father, thank You that we could gather together. Thank You for several churches across our nation gathering together. Some of them facing fines for doing it. But I pray again, Father, that You'd bless on this Lord's Day, awaken people's hearts and minds to Your presence, to Your power, to You, the Creator of this whole world. And Father, that we could see a turning in our country as we see again our country gone rogue towards communism, towards socialism, towards controls. And I pray, Father, again, that You'd open people's minds and hearts and eyes, that we could again see You. I think again of old Ahab even, who cried after a fire came down from heaven, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Father, we need to hear that from America. So I pray, Father, again, that You touch our worship here on this Memorial Day weekend, that You'd accept our praise, that, Father, you'd hear each prayer whispered from this service, touch each heart. Thank you that we could meet. Thank you that we could record and broadcast this service, and pray again that you'd be with each listener. Father, that your name could be exalted and lifted up because we love you. We want again that your Son would be exalted and lifted up, even through our love for you and our worship on this first day of the week, the day you rose him from the tomb. As we're gathered, Father, in your name, I pray again your blessing on each one that's here. And Father, touch our homes, our lives, our surrender, our love. Cause, Father, again that we could be witnesses during these ordained times in America, and that we could again find opportunity to speak praise and talk of the hope that lies within us. And Father, that you'd again encourage each one. Hear our prayers now. Touch again the infirm, and that we could again just hear from you. And we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for your blessing on our worship in this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just let you know, Bill had some tests coming up, and so Bill couldn't be here for a test. He had to go. I didn't quite understand all this, but anyway, pray for Bill and Jackie as they have some medical things going on, and keep them in your prayers. And pray that, praise the Lord, we got Facebook going out here. I thought I saw Steve come in, but I didn't see him. This camel, praise the Lord. Lord bless you, Steve. It's good to have you here. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and sing this next song. I love this song. Again, it took me all week to learn it. So let's see if we can remember it. Meet me there. I did learn it. I think I did. All right. On the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, when the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. Where the fight dissolves away into pure and perfect day, I am going home to stay. Life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er, on the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there. Here our fondest hopes are vain, dearest links are rent in twain, but in heaven no throb of pain. Sparkling bright in the city of delight, where our faith will lost in sight, meet me there. Meet me there. Meet me there. Where the dreary of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er, on the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there. When we sing that third verse, whenever I pick these songs up to talk about heaven, very few of them talk about how to get there. And so I wrote a verse, and you follow along, listen to the words in this one here, and we put together a verse that tells us how we're going to get there, praise the Lord. Those with Jesus by their side, who for them was crucified, where the Savior bled and died, meet me there. He for all our sins atoned, promised ne'er to leave us lone. He will take us there to home. Life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er, on the happy golden shore, angels ring and the blessed forever sing. In the palace of the King, meet me there, where the sweet communion blend, heart with heart, friend with friend. In a world that ne'er shall end, meet me there, meet me there, meet me there, where the tree of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er, on the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there. Where the faithful part no more, meet me there. Praise the Lord. In all my excitement, I think I missed a scripture reading there. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 92. We're reading the Psalms through in our Bible scheduled Bible reading. And it took Beverly and I, 20 minutes? 20 minutes to read Psalm 119 out loud on the front deck of the mansion today. And so that was our scheduled reading for the day, Psalm 119. Come across this psalm, Psalm 92, and I thought, oh yeah, let's look at the worship in that song. And so let's go ahead and have someone, if you would, do a scripture reading for us. Psalm 92, I think 1 through 8 is the first one. If we could get someone to stand and read that good and loud.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that psalm again. And I like that part about 10 strings. I got me a 12-string guitar here, but two of them are duplicates, so it's really an instrument of 10 strings. That's it. That's my story. I'm sticking with it this morning. Praise the Lord. And just appreciate, again, that psalm of praise. If someone else could stand and read verses 9 through 15 of that same Psalm 92.
Blow thy enemies, O Lord, for though thy enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye also shall see my desire of my enemies. And my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and their flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Praise the Lord. I like that line, except for that fat part again. So some of us have grown flat without flourishing. So praise the Lord. Appreciate again that psalm again of great promise. And again, of worship this morning. So as we worship again today, let's remember that we are here safe, sanitized, and socially distanced. Appreciate again great care. And again, as we've seen a lot of things going on against churches. Wow. I'm just amazed that, again, the hatred that is leveled against churches. It's like, especially when Trump came out and said church is essential, it's like there was a rearing up of people that are protesting churches that are opening today, and all kinds of going on. Gives you a pause to look at America a little bit differently and recognize that the majority of them are in favor of restricted liberties and a communist type rule. In fact, they've lifted up communist China and said, yeah, they know how to deal with this thing. So I spent too long watching CNN and MSNBC this week. And the more I watch it, the madder I get. So let's just realize again that, praise the Lord, we have a freedom to worship. And we're going to look at the message today. It's not pessimism, but it's to recognize that, hey, things aren't going to go well. And I think that's true even here for America as we look at the change of attitude towards church. And the idea that you can, okay, we'll let you get together as long as you don't sing. That was kind of striking again for what they want. So appreciate again that we could worship. Appreciate again that we have the freedom to do that. And 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So we got our 10 here again. Praise the Lord for that. And appreciate again that we could worship.
A couple in the parking lot.
Yeah, hallelujah. All right. So let's see, Thursday. I didn't know what to put down for Thursday, but we like these Zoom meetings so much that while Zoom is still free, we're going to get in on this. So this Thursday night, I heard moose again. So we're having moose on Thursday night. That's some kind of a chocolate dish that last I knew. So
she said, "Moose is a moose when Dave asked if we could have chocolate moose."
So if you can get zoomed into that meeting, you go ahead and take advantage of that. We have a good time fellowshipping together and tried to get more people involved in that this week, but we were unsuccessful. So we'll get together and have another fellowship dinner, praise the Lord, via Zoom. And there's the numbers down there that worked last week, and they should work again this week. Also, Saturday's prayer meeting. Last night my computer crashed, and I went to all the pieces. So we didn't have a Zoom available last night, but those numbers, again, were the same ones for our Zoom prayer meeting, if you can get in at 8 o'clock p.m. Some of us were out camping. You probably didn't have internet out there. Oh, okay. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if John and Sandy have any Zoom capabilities. Yeah, they're just still marveling over electricity capabilities. So. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, we'll do that again, and you stay in touch. Appreciate those. I appreciate Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Just watching out for each other, staying in touch with each other. Appreciate this phone texting stuff. Praise the Lord, where we can get everyone texted together. And so keep in touch with Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I appreciate your faithfulness here during these times. I appreciate your faithfulness in our tithes and offerings as well. And so let's go ahead and give. Again, we don't pass offering plates. That's going to be something hard to get used to for Baptists. We have to follow bouncing song dots on a big screen now rather than... No, we hand out paper, so that works just as well. But again, some things that we're doing a little bit differently here because of this pseudo crisis that we have. And so I appreciate again that your faith been faithful in your giving here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And let's just go ahead and sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate so much your being here today. This is Memorial Day weekend. I have not, man, the traffic around Juanita Lake is unbelievable. They got boat jams down in the channel with people, boats trying to maintain social distancing aren't even doing that. So boats are everywhere, and people are finally feeling a little bit of freedom, hallelujah, and taking full advantage of that. I guess the rests are up for non-mask wearers, and so what a mess we're in. But this is Memorial Day weekend, where we remember those who gave their lives in the service of our country and to purchase our freedoms. And let's remember and honor those even in this weekend, and appreciate again those that set aside the weekend very carefully. It's a four-day weekend, and we didn't even notice it again because we're not working. So we get 4 days off in a row. Man, we've had 2 months off in a row here, some of us. So appreciate again that we can have a big weekend here. And again, just remember, and also that we could on the Lord's Day be here. Brother Cranmer, if you have a scripture reading for us, let's do that.
Let's all stand and turn to Psalm 24, Psalm David. 10 verses. Why don't we do this today? We can read them all out together.
Yeah, amen.
I don't like seeing the other one out. Psalm 24, verse 1 says,
"The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah."
Praise the Lord, who is the King of glory. I'm glad we know that. Let's remain standing. Grab a song sheet. So precious is Jesus, my Savior and King. He is so precious to me. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. Him in my weakness, for he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. Is heaven below my Redeemer to know? For he is so precious to me. Store in sunshine and rain, and patiently waited an entrance to gain. What shame that so long he entreated in vain, for he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. Someday through faith in his wonderful grace, I know I shall see him who look on his face, for he is so precious to me. precious to me is heaven below, my Redeemer to know, for he is so precious to me. Is heaven below, my Redeemer to know, for he is so precious to me. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. If you have your Bible with you, if you would open it up to the book of Matthew and chapter 3. The book of Matthew, or chapter 13, I'm sorry. Matthew and chapter 13. This is the third in a series of messages I'm preaching called Behold Your King. And we've looked a couple of times already at the idea of Jesus teaching in parables, at the idea that Israel has rejected the king, and with the closing again of the life of Christ at his crucifixion, Pilate presented him to the people and said, "Behold your king," and they crucified the king. And so as we look here at the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as king, I want to pick up the parables that he teaches here in this one chapter. Seven parables about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Seven times he gives these parables, and we've covered again why he was teaching in parables. And the emphasis of that I tried to keep on that, is found in chapter 13 and verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And so I'm trusting that you hath, okay, that you have everlasting life, that you have an insight to God's Word, that you have the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth in your life. And whosoever hath, to him shall be given, it says in that verse, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. And so we see a rule set here again as Jesus separates his disciples from the general assembly, the general crowd, and we find again that he's teaching in parables, and they cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot understand, but he pulls the disciples aside and teaches them the truths about the kingdom of heaven. And so we want to look at these truths about the kingdom of heaven, and we're going to begin that in chapter 13, looking at the parable, the first parable that he teaches from in those first few verses. You follow along in your Bible as I'd open with the reading of this parable that Jesus used to teach. Matthew in chapter 13, the first verse says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choke them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you again that we can meet around this portion of Scripture on this Lord's Day. Thank you again that we can look into and understand more about the kingdom of heaven that's portrayed in these parables. And I pray that you touch even this one as we'd open its pages and understand the more again about the kingdom that we're presently living in. And Father, that is soon coming to this earth in great power. We'll praise you now and thank you for encouraging hearts during these depressing days. And pray now again, Father, that you give us a keenness to preach about the kingdom of heaven. And I'll praise you again and thank you for giving us a hope that we just can't keep to ourselves, that we might be ministers of reconciliation everywhere we go because we have a knowledge of these things. And I'll praise you again and thank you for just encouraging hearts here today in the kingdom that's present with us right now. And we'll praise you in the name of Christ. Amen. Several things again about the kingdom we want to look into here. And notice again that I didn't spend a lot of time presenting this, but up to this point, the first 12 chapters of Matthew, it includes the three chapters he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, starting in chapter 5. It includes the teachings that he gave there about the wise men, built his house upon the rock. And he said, hey, if you listen to these things, if you pay attention to these things, you're like that wise man. But if you ignore these teachings, you're like the foolish man. And again, the teachings, all the teachings that he gave, on what we looked at all through chapter 12 as well, having to deal with an unpardonable sin, having to deal with the want of signs, and all the things we've looked at up through this chapter 13, notice it has been that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, was the message that was being preached for those first 12 chapters. Now, very distinctly in the book of Matthew, we notice again that there's a change of venue. And Jesus' teaching changes outright. And from now on, the kingdom of heaven is not what they had all been looking for. There's been a change in the portrayal of the kingdom of heaven. I had to look up the definition of pessimism today because here, notice as we cover these seven parables about the kingdom of heaven, they're not optimistic again. But they can't be pessimistic either. Pessimism is a feeling of failure or things are going to get worse. And here, Jesus is teaching that things are going to get worse. But it's not a feeling of things are getting worse. Listen, here it is. It's a promise that things are going to get worse. And so I'd like that we would understand that here in this context of him preaching the kingdom and saying, okay, it's been rejected. Here's how the kingdom is going to come in now. And he gives seven parables that we're going to look at here one at a time to cover again the fact that, hey, things aren't going to be rosy anymore. Things aren't going to come out good anymore. And so even this first parable that we have, the parable that I read about the seeds being sown, notice again that the portrayal is that only one in four at best is going to comprehend what's going on here. The majority of the people are going to miss it. They've already rejected the kingdom. Now the majority are going to miss it. And listen, we are living in a world where the majority are going to miss it. We have said that America is a Christian nation. And I think it was up to where it elected Obama to be president. Again, that seemed to be a turning point, where we had a president that said out loud, America is not a Christian nation. And he defied God even to be called a Christian nation. And so notice again that, and now even on the news, man alive, you look at that we're a tiny minority here of believers. Even the churches that they portrayed opening, I'm thinking, man alive, I just assume some of them stayed shut. They can't do mass. They can't. Listen, a lot of things they got no business doing anyway. It isn't Bible. Those aren't Bible churches. And so as we look again to understand that, hey, the majority is against us. That's what these parables are all about. That's what they're portraying. And so we're going to look at them in more detail. As we do, let's just run down through the list. I put them in your bulletin. Here's a list of the parables that are given, the soil types, and we'll look at that this morning. And if we have time, we'll look at the tares amongst the wheat this morning as well. And then we have the grain of mustard seed in chapter 13, verses 31, 32. Then we have the leavened lump in verses 33 through 35. We have the hid treasure in one verse, 44. We have the pearl, 45 and 46. And we have the dragnet in 47 through 52. So these seven parables where the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And then the close of this chapter is a reaffirmation of the rejection of the king. And so a very sobering chapter that we have here before us. Let's look quickly, if we could, at these. I've preached these several times. You're all quite familiar, I trust, with the parable of the seed and the sower. And so to advance our understanding and jump ahead as quickly as we can, let's jump over to the explanation that is given in these parables. And that starts in verse 18. Hear ye the parable of the sower, Matthew 13 and verse 18. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now let's stop right there and look at the illustration that he's given. A farmer, a sower, goes out to, what do they call him? A sower. Goes out to spread seeds. And I don't know about you, I just seeded some of my lawn and I didn't spread any of my seed on the driveway. I just avoided it. I said, what a waste of seed. And you'll notice I didn't spread any of my seeds on that thorn patch over there either. I didn't spread any of my seeds on the wayside soil, on the thorn patch. I didn't spread it among on stony ground. I had raked up and broke and put some topsoil in the dirt. And so understand that this parable situation is a little bit different than the normal farmer. Know that there's no conservative of seed. He's spreading the seed everywhere. He doesn't care whether the soil has been prepared or not. He spreads some of it, goes on wayside soil. And so as we look here at this first illustration, I want to point out that again, you and I are going to be the seed spreaders here. We have the seed, the gospel, the word of God, and we're to spread it. And we're to spread it without regard of what type of soil it's running into. And so I like to make that application right up front because sometimes we might be a little bit reluctant to say, well, I'm not going to talk to him. I don't think he'd even receive a message about Christ. And listen, it doesn't matter whether you think they've received it or not. We're told again to spread the seed, to go out there and tell everyone, to again preach the gospel to the whole world, yea, even every creature, it says. And so with that understanding, understand that here there's four types of soil. And the first is this wayside soil that again is kind of like my driveway, kind of like a beaten path. And notice in his illustration what he says about that. And we don't want to miss this. Although I did. What happened? Oh, my page flipped. Okay. I was going to say it was right there on my page. 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom, remember the word of the kingdom that was going to be preached or that was already preached? It says, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That repentance line did not change again. And so we need to understand that repentance is part of what's being preached here. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. I just don't get that. I just can't comprehend that. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now, understand, in each of these parables, you're going to find the presence of this wicked one. And again, in fact, in this explanation here, over in Mark chapter 4, when he gives this same explanation in the Gospel of Mark, he says this, I wrote it in the margin of my Bible here, "Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables?" Jesus didn't explain all the parables, but he did explain a couple of them in enough detail so that we could understand all parables. And so again, a parable is given, and there's one main point to a parable. There's not 32 subpoints, there's one main point to a parable. And so don't try to read more into a parable than you want to be there. And so we want to be careful that way. And secondly, notice again that when we look at a parable, there's certain things that are going to show up in this explanation, including fowls of the air, including the evil one, the wicked one. And again, those fit in all of the parables. And so that we could understand this parable, then we would be able to understand all parables, as it says in the Gospel of Mark. And so again, there's this wicked one that's mentioned, verse 19, and he catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. I want you to stop and pause and think about, how does the devil do that? How does the devil catch away something that you said to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ or about the gospel? Listen, he does it through distraction. He does it again by remember, wayside soil is the seed's just sitting there. And so there's so many other things that comes into a life to distract them and to cause that they forget all about what the gospel verses that you gave them. And so that's not uncommon. In fact, it's very common. Verse 20. "But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself." So the first one, again, is a problem of Satan coming in and stealing what was said. This one here is more a problem that people... what was the saying? I think Brother Johnson mentioned it this week. Common sense ain't as common as it used to be. People don't have the depth that they used to have. People are very shallow. They got well-exercised thumbs and they play on computers and have big screen TVs, but they don't exercise their mind very much. And so people don't have a lot of depth nowadays. Knowledge has increased. Certainly it has. I've never seen such knowledge available to mankind. But again, in general, mankind is less educated today than they've ever been. And so when we look at... this, that line there bothers me. "He hath not root in himself." I have gone through all of these with the idea that we could go back and do a little soil preparation on lives, and I want you to encourage you to recognize that that's still true in your lives. If you have a friend or a kin who is wayside soil, don't give up on them. Understand that soils change. And God can change soils. And God can change wayside soil, or here, stony soil. He can change a person's heart and life. Especially if you go to your prayer closet and ask Him to. God can bring things into your relatives' lives that will get their attention in a hurry. God can again get person's eyes to look off into eternity and see things that they've never even thought about looking for. All it takes is a doctor's diagnosis. All it takes is a close call. And again, people look down their mortality and understand that, wow, I'm not going to be here long. Listen, hearts change, people change. And so don't write somebody off as being wayside soil. To understand, I ain't going to waste any seed on them. Listen, you're not wasting seed, praise the Lord. Spread the seed, present the testimony. But here we find a person doesn't have enough root in themselves. And boy, we have raised a couple rootless generations. We've raised a couple ruthless generations too, but that's another message. And so notice here again that people just don't have the understanding. They don't have the root. But notice again, they receive the message and say, oh yes, that's exactly what I need. But dureth for a while, for when tribulations or persecutions arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. We just read in Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they that love thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Wow, I like that verse. And so, again, when we understand that here, they didn't have root in themselves, and they received the gospel. They got saved. They may even come forward. They may have gone down late, got baptized, but it isn't real. They did not have root in themselves. And again, we can say, well, boy, I remember when they got saved. But there's been no change. There's been no fruit. There's been no evidence of the nine fruits of the Spirit, even let alone the fruit of them winning other souls to Christ. And so again, here they are, and there's no root in themselves, and they go away because they're offended a little bit. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that received the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Listen, the cares of this world are more important to them than the cares of the kingdom. And so again, notice that as it says here, and I don't know exactly what to do with this line, I'll just read what it says, they become unfruitful. Did that mean one time they did have fruit? I don't know. But notice here that they become unfruitful. I don't know whether that's part of the parable because of the thorns, or as part of the lesson here because people don't lose their salvation. And once you're saved and bear fruit, again, you might be drawn away and seeking after the world. But again, as we understand salvation, it's a permanent arrangement. It isn't like Christ can say, well, that person isn't doing what he was supposed to do, and so now I'm going to reach down into his life and I'm going to quench out that eternal life that I gave him. No, God's promised I'll never do that. And so if you have eternal life, you have eternal life. But here we find again that some of these are going to become unfruitful either because they never had eternal life or even because they fell away because of the cares of this world. Verse 23, but he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. And so the importance of all of this is that we recognize that, again, if a person gets saved and it's real, they bear fruit. Now, I'm not talking about the person that has 18 notches cut in the binding of his Bible because he saw 18 people saved, and that's his fruit list. No, because then again, you might go out and grab people by the collar and say, unless you pray this prayer, you're going to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell, do you? And so be careful of that. Fruit isn't just the notches you can put on your Bible and say, I won all these people to the Lord. There's nine fruits of the Spirit. Some of us could name them. Love, joy, peace. Faith. Gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. I heard someone say seven. That's not bad. Seven out of nine. I got to do them in order. I can't get them again. I got to have the little letters out there so I can just go down through and get them all. But again, notice that that's fruit. Notice again, there's fruit to a person. A person might get saved and be rejoicing and get run over the bus by a bus the same day. They still had fruit, okay? They didn't go out and win 20 people to the Lord. They didn't live a life where they just saw great things done through their whole life. But they had fruit. They had a change in their heart. They had a change in their life. That's what we're talking about here when we're talking about fruit. We're not talking about how many people you won to the Lord. Although it's good to win people to the Lord. It's exciting again when you're there and someone accepts Christ as their Savior. Boy, that just does something to your soul to encourage you. But again, there's more fruit than that. Noah, How much fruit did Noah have? He got a boat built. That was his fruit, all right? And so again, to understand that a lot of people go off at this soul winning, but look at again the fruit levels of these that is given here. And he bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold. That's a lot, okay? That's one little seed going out and taking root, and now it's bearing 100-fold. Others 60-fold, and some 30-fold, and some, notice it stops at 30-fold. And so a good level of fruit to aim for, again, is 100-fold. But listen, understand that there are some people that just the fruit comes hard. And some of us are sloppy. Some of us are introverts. Some of us, again, are sloppy with our lives, sloppy with our testimony. But again, there is a fruit that comes, a change in our life. And we become, what's that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talk about, but if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's fruit. But if you follow that on down a little bit, those old things that are passed away and those all things are become new, so that you might become a minister of reconciliation, so that you could change the life of somebody else. And so again, we want to put an emphasis on that everything in our life is left so that we might be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rehearse for you the little white-haired man on George Street in Sydney, Australia. I love that testimony. But again, he never saw anybody saved. And all he did is witness and tell people about Christ and just give a word of testimony to everyone that he saw pass by. And finally, all locked up as a sick man on his grave, said one foot in the grave and close to death. A missionary came back and had heard how many testimonies of the people that got saved because of a little white-haired man on George Street in Sydney, Australia. All over the world, people got saved because of his witness, and he knew none of it. And we might be that way, but we're to keep spreading seed. I don't care if the ground looks stony. I don't care, again, if you haven't done soil preparation on that life. We're to spread the seed. We're to be witnesses. God will take care of the fruit stuff. And so again, notice here that we again see this analogy. Let me do a quick minute just to run through this tares. Read the example. It says, another parable spake, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. There's another verse. I should have looked it up before we got here today. But it says to the disciples, I mean, they were all saying, boy, we can't wait till the kingdom gets here. We can't wait till the kingdom gets here. And we're going to have the king. And Jesus said to them, don't you understand that you are in the kingdom? And so understand this. We are in the kingdom right now. If you're a born again Christian, you have a king in your life. You are in the kingdom right now. This is it again. And it hasn't come to this world, but again, it's going to, but it's come to us. And so we are in this kingdom right now. And so look at this parable. Parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Here's another sowing parable. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blades was sprung up and brought forth much fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy. Understand this, hey, there are enemies in this world. And this is not so much talking about soil that don't receive the gospel. This is talking, again, about false teachers, about false gospel. This is talking about people who might count beads and do penance trying to earn their way to heaven. That's a tear. That's not based on the gospel. It's by grace are you saved, through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so there's a lot of people out there preaching that you've got to be baptized, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you got to do penance. Notice again that those are people who are sowing tares. That doctrine is people sowing tares. And they are the enemy of the cross. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant saith unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. I got a lot of parables I want to cover here. And so this one here, I don't want to slight it at all. But look again at the explanation that's given for this. And that's over in verse 36. He gives a couple more parables. Then he comes over in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, stop right there and recognize that they're all in the church, as it were, in this part of our kingdom. And again, they're saved and there's lost in the church. I said that this is a picture of the reality of the kingdom here. And so notice again that Jesus doesn't come through the church and rip out the pretenders. And you and I shouldn't either. Okay? The gospel of Christ, the Spirit, is like a wind that bloweth. And you don't know whether it's where it's blown. You don't know whether it cometh or whether it goeth, John chapter 3. And so we don't know if a person's salvation or not. And so again, you want to tiptoe around those things. Be very careful. There's people that have made a profession of faith. I pray for them like they need to get saved. But I don't bash them upside the head and call them lost and gone to hell, because they've made a profession of faith. And you don't know. And so be careful of that. But notice again here that Jesus says, this is even the Son of Man is going to be careful. He's not going to rip them out of the church. He's not going to rip them out of the body of believers, lest he destroy believers along with it. And so he's careful in that regard. And so we need to handle the same care. And understand this, in this parable, that again, it teaches the fact that, hey, we can say all kinds of things about the church across the way. But listen, you don't know how many Christians are in that church. There are some that are born again that ended up in a church that's not preaching the truth. There's some that's born again and got salvation, and they're still going to a Catholic church. Now, I don't believe they can go there very long before the spirit of that church again witnesses with their spirit that they don't belong there. But understand that, hey, when we say things about other churches, understand that be careful, because there's Christians in that churches. They've been misled. They're not being fed. There's churches, we thump a KJV Bible around here. There's other churches around here that are using an NIV Bible, and they have a rock band in the front of their church. But listen, you can't slate them off. Now, I think, again, that church is dabbling in apostasy. But again, there's people in that church that are born again Christians. They're being led poorly, led wrongly. I don't think, again, they're going to grow right. But again, understand that here we have this idea that, hey, we're just going to separate and only get pure wheat. Nothing but wheat's allowed in here. Listen, there's tares in our lives. There's tares in the church. There's tares in the kingdom, as it says here. And so we ought to have the same care that Christ has, the same compassion that Christ has. And so certainly we should preach it clear and make it as straight as we can. But again, understand that God's the one who answers whether a person is saved or lost. And when you and I dabble into doing that, it's a dangerous place that we're treading. So I just want to get that much in about the tares and the wheat here. The difference between the sowing and the other one, we're the sowers. In this one, the Son of Man is the sower. See the difference? And again, this is dealing with the church. And it's His church. It's not our church. It's not my church. It's His church. And so, again, we let Him deal with lives on that level and in that regard. And so we'll go on with the rest of these kingdoms. We just covered two. We have the mustard seed, the leavened lump, and the hidden treasure. We'll try to get to them in our next series on the Behold Your King. And as we look at here again, understand that this is new. Somehow when I read this time, it was like I read it in the presence of the rejected king. And I read it with the sadness that Jesus probably would have read this with. To understand that, hey, he was rejected as king. Remember he said, how many times, O Jerusalem, I would have gathered you together as a mother hen gathers her chicks. But ye would not. And again, that we find Jesus wept over that city when he was in that position. And again, I believe when he gave this first parable here of the sowers and the seed and those that rejected the seed, I think he had probably a compassion, probably a tear in those that rejected in that wayside soil, in that stony soil, and in that thistly soil. I think, again, he had a tear that it won't be received by the masses. We have the same tear today. I wonder who weeps over our state. I wonder who weeps over our city. I wonder who weeps again over souls. Because again, Christ died for the ungodly. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for what we looked at here, a couple parables of the kingdom. Father, grip our heart. Cause again, Father, that the kingdom is available to all. Father, they could be part of the kingdom if they would but receive your only begotten Son, our Savior and King. And we'll praise you and thank you even for pricking our hearts even this morning. We'll give you praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let us stand, and as we have a hymn of invitation, again, let God tug on your heart. We'll just have the piano play here as it plays. A hymn of invitation. Doubtless someone came to your mind while I was preaching that. Bring them before the throne. People need for some churches that are going through persecution even this morning in the United States of America, being persecuted for their assembling together. Father, thank you and praise you that we could worship today. Thank you that you'd hear every prayer whispered from this service, touch each heart. Cause again, Father, as we unite our hearts around the worship of your Son, that you'd move in Good Samaritan Baptist Church in a special way, that your name could be exalted in Yates County, yea, in each of our lives, our homes. And we'll praise you and thank you in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. Psalms 106 gives this benediction that I like. It says, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." And let all the people say, "Amen. Praise ye the Lord." Lord bless you for worshiping today.